Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 70 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled Living Life Under the Influence. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
Well, we welcome everyone this morning to our teaching time of trying to learn a little bit about the prophetic and the voice of God. There's two ways to approach things that we don't know. One is to be angry because we feel like, well, I should already know it. And that's pride. And the other one is to feel like it's just so overwhelming I can't learn anything. And both of them are enemies to the truth. And there's no need to be angry and prideful, and there's no reason to think you can't learn, because we all can learn and we all can hear. And the neat thing about truth is I can stand up here and speak and teach, and it is based on, you've heard it said before that everybody doesn't hear the same thing. And that is just so true. Because it's when you're teaching, you're trying to, it's kind of like playing football, and you're trying to carry the ball and you're trying to dodge the tackles. You're trying to get through all of the maze of everybody's filter and get it across the goal line, so to speak. Because as we're all sitting here, we have all different filters in which we receive truth. I've taught it before, and I'll say it again at the beginning of this teaching, that perceptions are the glasses in which we all have on that we view life through. It's perceptions, and perceptions are an accumulation of history. And perceptions are basically they're off of stored memory. We all have memory which has been stored, and 95% of your life is run off of your perceptions. The reason I say that is you live 5 to 10% of your daily life is lived out of your conscious mind. The other 90% of your life is lived out of your subconscious mind. So I ask you, who's running the show? Well, your subconscious mind is running the show. And the difficulty is we think that our conscious mind is what everybody sees. I got some news for you. And somebody doesn't have her clothes on, because what the world sees, what people sees, is your subconscious. Because we act out of and we react out of our subconscious. Because that is 90-95% of your life, your daily life. So, you've heard me say it before, that the subconscious is programmed through the repetibility of thoughts. And so, as we repeat our daily thoughts and our conscious mind, after, I've said it before, when you play a piano, you're looking at the C, D, E, F, G notes. You consciously have to look at them and view them. You consciously have to teach yourself how to read music. Then somewhere or another, after a while, you don't have to really read the music. You look at the music. You don't even look at your hands. Because the conscious mind has stored the repetitive thinking as truth in your subconscious mind. And so therefore you sit down and play the piano and you don't even think about it in your conscious mind, because you are playing it out of your subconscious mind, because the subconscious mind is where all truth is stored. Now, the key is that your subconscious mind is where truth is stored, whether it's true or not. That's something we must understand. Your subconscious mind is where truth is stored, whether it is true or not. In other words, your subconscious mind stores repetitive thinking. Say you want to say, well, Alan, I want to have the mind of Christ. I want to think different. Well, that's no problem. That means your repetitive conscious mind thinking needs to be the mind of Christ. And then after a while, it's stored as truth. It replaces the previous truth with new truth. And then you respond and you react out of your subconscious mind. Everybody got that one? So you've got two minds that we all have, and I'll be going over some today. You have two minds in which you're operating out of. Now, as a prophetic people, there's a behavior and a lifestyle. If we're going to hear God, then we've got to get on the same wavelength of the Spirit of God. Now, when I tune a radio, I can listen to hard rock, or I can listen to Christian, or I can listen to country, or I can listen to classical. It's just according to what channel I am tuned into. Well, I cannot see the spiritual radio waves as they are going through the air. You cannot see the spiritual radio waves either. Just the same, they're going through the air. Now, it just so happens if you watch a TV, it takes those radio waves and it turns it into a visual. And then that visual comes up in your mind. All right, you see it. In other words, you take that image off of the TV screen through what we call, it's called a receptor. Now, a receptor is something that receives. Right? A radio is a wavelength receptor. It receives. Well, you receive into who you are. You are a body, soul, and a mind. That's how you're made up. You're a trinity, a body and a soul and a mind or a spirit. Now, you have, as a living being, you have receptors. Can anybody tell me what your receptors are? Your five senses. That's exactly right. Your five senses are your receptors, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your touch, right? You have put your hand in a candle, you pull it back because it's hot. So therefore, we have receptors in which we receive things. And as we receive these things through our perceptions, we say this is true reality. You say something's true based on your receptors. Now, your receptors, we've been talking about the change in the atmosphere of the spiritual world. Your receptors will receive based on what atmosphere they're in. Right? So, if you put yourself in a if you go to the Mexican restaurant after church and you walk in there, you'll have some receptors start picking up something that smells good. Then somebody walks by with a plate of guacamole and all this other stuff. Then you have another receptor says something. And you walk past a booth, you hear somebody go, another receptor picks up, right? So You've got to understand that as a people, that we have receptors in which we pick up on the environment that's around us. Let's say that you have a child and it's raised in a home, but there's a lot of fighting and turmoil, never any peace. You place that child in that home, or you place the child in a home that has peace and love. If their receptors are going to pick up both. So if a child's placed in a home that's a lot of turmoil, fussing and a cussing and a beating and a banging and carrying on, their receptors are saying this is what reality is. Right? Has no choice. Because the receptors pick up according to the environment they're in. I'll give you another example. I walk by Dunkin' Donuts. I have receptors go off everywhere. Don't even know how many I've got at the moment. They're just going off, ding, 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 everywhere. Now, can I eat a dozen donuts right off of the griddle? My receptors say, yum, yum, I eat them, I take them in. I can say to myself that these are good and they're good for me and they're healthy. But I was in an environment in which I talked myself into a non-truth. Because I eat the dozen donuts and I say, I am not going to gain a pound. Somebody lied, right? So we find that our, in the spirit, what happens is you've got a battle between the receptors and the mind. Receptors are saying one thing. God's given you receptors. God has given you a receptor to receive His Spirit and to hear His voice. But it helps to be in the right atmosphere. It's hard to be watching a murder mystery where people are being shot and killed and all these things and say, oh, I think I just heard the voice of God. Well, I'm not saying God can't speak in any circumstance because He can. But it's just not a good conducive atmosphere to hearing God in the receptors of your spirit. Your spirit's got your same receptors as your body has. It has all five senses. So we'll get into that a little later. But your spirit has receptors just like your body. If you sin, you put off a bad odor in the spirit. I had a dream one time that demons didn't have eyes. They could only hear and smell. I don't know if it's true or not. I had the dream just the same. And I took from it was a spiritual dream. In other words, sin has a foul odor to it in the spirit. And it'll draw every demon of hell in the area because they smell it. In other words, once you sin, the same sin will find you very easily because you've called in every demon cohort that there is around to be sure that you keep and continue to do this. But it's done through a foul odor. You can say, well, I just draw people doing drugs. Well, okay, figure it out. I just taught you the truth. Well, I just draw people that drink. Okay, figure it out. I just draw people that cuss. All right, figure it out. In other words, I just draw people that steal. I mean, just figure it out. Sin has an odor to it, and it'll draw like kindness. Now, if you have receptors in your body, you have receptors in your spirit. Now, your receptors receive. And as your receptors receive, your receptors, very few receptors give, but a few of them do. One receptor you have, which is your mouth, which you take in food and you taste with your mouth, but you speak. I would almost say that's still two different receptors. One's vocal cords, one's the taste buds, and 75-80% of tasting is smell. It's not taste. But anyway, so if you have these type of, what I want you to be sensitive to as we begin here is the receptors that you have in your spirit. Anybody can learn. Anybody can be trained. Anybody can receive the things of God. Now, what we want to do, though, is we got perceptions, and we want to bring our perceptions in line with our receptors. How do I make my glass? In other words, if you were bitten by a dog when you was 12 years old, you're going to have a perception when a dog runs out from somebody's house, it's going to bite you. Why? Because your perceptions are basically created out of stored memory. All right? So you will view dogs by your stored memory or perception of what dogs can do. You can say, well, I'm rational. I don't think every dog can bite me. But you let every dog come out barking at you, and I promise you, you'll back up. Right? Because you have been bitten by a dog. So your perception has been created by past memory. My father beat me when I was young, so therefore, if you're a lady, and he beat me when I was young, so now I've grown up, and now I have a fear of men. It's a perception. Well, just one man did it, but the perception's based off of memory, right? You could have been in a bad marriage. Going forward in a new marriage, you can say, well, you can sabotage it by going forward in your memory. This is what a man will do, or a woman will do, or whatever. So perception, you view life through perception. But you think you're viewing it honestly, but we're not. So a perception is how we view life and view truth and we view things. And as I'm teaching this morning, ever how many people are in here is how many different ways it can be seen. I tried teaching through that one. Everybody's got their own opinion, their own idea, and everybody's got their own perceptions of life, and you will apply it like your perceptions do it. So my only hope as a teacher is that the Holy Spirit will apply the truth to your perception as needed. So there I can rest. But understand that everybody's hearing a little something different. Because with the Word of God and your perceptions, the Holy Ghost is trying to mold your thinking like the mind of Christ. Now, Jesus, everywhere Jesus went, do you believe Jesus had a mind? Yes, he had a mind. Is it possible that Jesus lived a life and he didn't sin? Yeah, it is. Have you ever read of a place in the Bible that Jesus had a cold? No. Have you ever read that he had any type of disease or physical illness? Mental illness, it's just not there. So it leads us to believe that the mind of Christ is a pretty healthy thing. Would you agree with that? So once we start seeing, as I move forward in this word teaching this morning, our words come out of our thoughts, and how we think. If we can think like Jesus, let me tell you, thinking like Jesus is. Thinking like Jesus is not necessarily memorizing the Word. That's not what he's talking about. Thinking like Jesus brings life and healing to every situation. That's what thinking like Jesus does. Brings life and healing to every situation. Does anybody want some of that? You see, that's the question. So if we want some of this, could it be that as I take on more of the mind of Christ, could one of the side benefits be that I could be healthier? Or can I be healthier spiritually? Could my mind be healthier? Well, so it just goes to reason. My body could too. I mean, you're three in one. You're a trinity. So what I'm suggesting to you, to have the mind of Christ or to think correctly, will heal all aspects of who you are. It's just the way it is. Because we have resigned to the fact that we are who everybody in the world says we are except God. It's the beatenest thing I ever seen. You know, people are getting DNA tests today and their ancestors for this, that, and other, and generational this. Well, pooey on all that stuff. That's right. That's what I say about it. Pooey on it. And there's a reason. I am not going to be conformed by my past ancestry. Thank you very much. I'm just not. I'm not going to be conformed by that. I don't need to know what it is. That's not where I'm headed. And as soon as you go into the doctor, the first thing I want to know is what all your ancestors had. And I'm like, well, I don't have that. Well, they automatically, they set up in your mind what you're going to have. So your belief system just went in that direction. Anybody with me? Your belief system went in, your perception of who you're going to be just came out of your ancestry. That's right. So you're going to apply your belief in that area of who you're at, what all your ancestors. I mean, nowhere do they say, was your ancestor a preacher? Or did in your ancestry, were they good people? Nobody asked that question, right? You all know everything's wrong with them. And I find as I'm searching, I don't know. I have to make up something because they're demanding something's wrong. And now you have it. And I don't know how smart a doctor's supposed to be to go by that evidence. They didn't figure out nothing. They just said, well, your ancestor. And then I think they talk half of us in, that's what we got, and then we'll go walk in it. I'm just saying, here we go. It's your perceptions. I believe that what you believe in makes a difference. I believe it makes a difference. Listen, if it can keep you out of hell and send you to heaven, it's got to make some difference. Is that not the big trip? Right? So how we believe's got to make a difference. Well, if it can make a difference in my spirit, can it make a difference in my soul and my body? It just stands to reason. It'd have to. But then I got the world and everything out here trying to shout to me something different. And so I'm finding myself having to make a decision with whose mind I'm going to have. You think you're having your own mind. You're not even having that. You're having whatever doctor says and everybody else says about you in the first grade and the third grade and from here everywhere. Everybody says this is who you are. And then you don't even have time to think your own thought. You're trying to figure out, well, I guess that's who I am, so this is who I'm going to be. What I'm trying to bring to our attention is, where do you place your belief? Now, my belief that Jesus Christ, was for his death, burial, resurrection was the forgiveness of all sin. I've got that belief. But I got a greater belief. I got a belief that if I believe that he lives in me. Now, that's the hard one, folks. The hard one is to believe Jesus lives in you. That's the big one. That's the big one of Christianity. Yeah, Jesus is in me, but we don't believe that. We know that, but we don't believe that. Well, it just so happens knowing I'm going to heaven doesn't get me anything. What I believe tends to materialize. Why? Because it's faith. Faith is the substance of things that are hoped for. They're the evidence of things that are not seen. Oh, wow. So what I'm trying to share with you is my introduction might last a whole time. If I can get through this introduction on the Word of God, why it is so important. Because what you believe in tends to develop. And what you believe in is your perception. It goes through your perception of life. Now, what we need to consider as the people of God is that we are going to have perceptions based off of faith and not memory. Anybody hear what I'm trying to go for? Right now, your perceptions, you're sitting there, and your perceptions of life is based off of your memory. As a people of God, we want our perceptions based off of faith and not memory. Based off of faith. So if my perceptions are based off of faith, how many things are possible? Oh, here we go now. But if I have a perception that every dog is going to bite me, does faith enter in there? No. So what is the first prerequisite to the supernatural? That I get that I forget my memory or is forgiven or whatever, and I'm going to move in faith. But I'm talking about a real faith. I'm not talking about a faith mixed with memory. I've heard people all the time, prophetic people are the worst. They try to prophesy out of their memory. Right? Well, the only thing you got was a prophesied memory. And we're trying to go for what? Now, when I say memory, I'm talking about memory of bad situations, bad outcomes. I'm not talking about everything you've learned through life. We have a lot of good memory, right? I'm talking about bad memory. Can you prophesy out of good memory? The answer is yes. You can prophesy out of good memory and true memory. The problem with bad memory is it's false. You say, well, Alan, why is it false? Truth is, it happened. It sure did, but if somebody did you wrong, that's still a wrongness. It's still a falseness. So if you operate out of that, you're trying to hedge from something bad happening. A prophetic people is trying to call into existence something good happening. You feel the difference? Now, the bad's out there, but we need more people prophesying the good so we can outrun the bad. Did you know the speed of light is faster than the speed of sound? Speed of light's faster than the speed of sight. Speed of light's fast. Speed of light will outrun the devil. That's right. Runs faster, moves faster. So I don't care what my ancestors did 2,000 years ago, I can speak with the authority of light now, and it completely outruns it till it gets to me. It doesn't touch me. It's not where I'm going. I'm not going backwards, I'm going forwards. All right, that's my introduction. Are y'all ready? I talk slow, my clicker won't even work. Changing the spiritual atmosphere, living life under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to let it be legal to be under the influence. But the influence is that of the Holy Spirit. Let me move quickly because I have a lot to do here in 20 minutes. Now, attitude's everything. We skipped last week, so I got to pick us back up and move us quickly. But what I was trying to establish beforehand in the beginning was this. How we believe affects the healing of our spirit, the healing of our body, the healing of our soul. How we believe. You cannot segment if how you believe makes a difference in the spirit that it doesn't make a difference in your body, physical body. It does. But you can't believe you can eat donuts and get healthier. That was what I was trying to establish. You say, okay, is everybody with me? I mean, I wish we could. And it does say that we can eat any deadly things. I don't know. But we'll work out on that later. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now here, I want to go in this scripture just a little. Anything is possible for anyone who believes. Believes what? In your past? No. All things are possible. Now here's what he's talking about. All things that are possible here are in for one who believes. He is saying that all things are wrapped up in what you believe. Yeah. Right? If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now, to believe in Jesus, salvation is made possible. To believe in failure, failure is made possible. Now, reason I'm pointing it out to you like this, don't hear what I'm not saying, just try to hear what I am saying. Jesus is saying, if you believe in Him, all things are possible, but that's a spiritual truth. It's a coin, has two sides, heads and a tail. Jesus says, believe in Him, all things are possible. But what the point of the scripture, the truth of the principle, is whatever you're believing in, it's possible. Jesus is saying you need to direct it towards Him. That's the safe place. But what we have to consider is, what am I believing in? What if it made a difference? I'm a farmer. Plant of corn. Y'all have heard me do it. Plant a grain of corn. Corn comes up and grows. A stalk of corn is either growing or it's dying. It doesn't get up so far and sit there and say, I think I'm going to rest a minute. It doesn't happen. I got cows. They're either growing or they're dying. They don't get to a point about 12 months old and say, okay, I think I'm going to take off next 2 months and revisit growing. It doesn't happen that way. Now, one principle is the same in body, soul, or spirit. It doesn't change. In the spirit, you're either growing or dying. Just the way it is. I said two weeks ago, I was talking to a person. He said, well, I'm just going to coast for a while. I said, well, if you're coasting, it means you're going downhill. You can't coast unless you're going downhill, right? So the point being, you're either going downhill or uphill. You're either growing or dying. Every day we get up, your body is either growing or dying. Your physical body is either growing or dying. You feed it a dozen donuts every day and see what happens. That's right. Or you feed it things to help it grow in a way that sustains life and perpetuates. Listen, you don't get healed. Every day you're living, you're in a healing state. Anybody hear what the Spirit's trying to say here? You're in a living state. Every day you get up, your spirit's in a living state or a dying state, according to what you feed it. Feeding it donuts, right? But you got to understand, what if we got our whole body, soul, and spirit together in a living mode? Wow. But we got this battle going on. Well, I don't think I'm... Well, I'm not going to eat right. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to get my exercise. I'm going to smoke and chew and everything else because I can get by with it. Everybody don't get this. No, I mean, you know what? You know, we go through all these mental gymnastics, and what God's Word's after is wanting us to consider getting all these things together at one time, and it's being a living mode. Let's live. Little bit. Let's live life a little bit. Well, it's your body, soul, and your spirit. It's all of them. Well, if thinking right brings healing to my spirit, can thinking right bring healing to my body? Well, yeah. Did you know that you have around 70 trillion cells in your body and they duplicate every 7 days? Anywhere 50 to 7 trillion, but they're duplicating every 7 days. Something's growing somewhere. You can change your whole body in 7 days. You can change what you're eating and change how your body's growing in 7 days. I'm just using eating as an example. It's an easy one. Right? What I'm wanting you to consider is you're growing or you're dying. There's no need for one part of you to grow and the other part to die. Now, don't get in to say, well, Alan, this one's got this disease and that one's got... Don't get me there. I'm not there yet. But we're going. All right? Only thing I'm saying to you is how you believe tends to be what develops. You've got to consider you're either living or you're dying. And what I want you to consider is it's a tragedy if your spirit's doing great and you don't give a hoot about your body. That's tragedy. I've talked with one individual had problems with her body. I had to get the body thinking lined up before I could get into the spirit thinking to line up. Sometimes we come to church trying to get one part to move and forgetting other parts. You see, we need to be talking about our body. We need to be healthy. Need to be talking about our soul. We need good activities. We need to be watching good things on the movies and TVs. We need to be listening to good music. We need to speak kind words at home. We need to speak kind words at church. We need to have an environment that's conducive to growing. Somehow or another, you see, the spirit of criticism is dying. You can't criticize somebody into getting bigger. You're chopping their limbs off every time. Now, they might outgrow your criticism, but you can't chop on them every day and them do it. Can somebody here want to? I'm just telling you the truth. Encouragement, a good word, is more powerful. It brings life. You're growing. You want to get into a growing state? Well, give it growing fertilizer. You're either growing or you're dying. I'm just telling you that we're so, in our bodies, souls, and spirits, we're so mixed up. Part of us is living one day and the other part's dying, and then I'm trying to encourage this part and that part's going that way, and this one's going that way, and Lord Jesus, help us. What I'm suggesting as a prophetic people is we need to go ahead and let's just get it all hooked up together, and let's start believing that every aspect of us is growing. You need to be growing when you're 105. Come on, somebody. You do. You need to be growing to 105, 110. If you're in a gym and you're working out, did you know, this is science here now, biology, did you know that your mind will tell you that you cannot do another rep and the muscle still got about 10 times that capacity yet to go, but the mind says it doesn't? Is that not amazing? What's shutting this whole thing down is our mind. And until we get the mind of Christ going on, we're kidding ourselves. And until we get the mind of Christ going into our whole being, I don't think we're going to have this experience of people driving up and down this road and saying, I don't know what they got over there, but I know they know God. How do they know we know God? It's because our whole mind, body, soul, and spirit's in unity with ourselves and with Him. All right, to do that, we got to get rid of some stinking thinking and an occasional box of donuts. I ain't even got out of my second slide. Now, all things are possible for one who believes. Now, here's my point. You got to be careful where you place your belief. We have more belief in our non-belief than we do in our belief. We have more faith in why God won't instead of God will. Well, here, look, I want you to think about something. What if God's waiting on us to participate with Him before it happens? I'm eating a box of 12 dozen, I'm eating a dozen donuts every day and say, oh God, I need to lose 10 pounds. Oh God, won't you move upon my heart? Could it be that God's waiting for me to participate in what I'm asking for? What I submit to you is yes. God is waiting. God didn't want to walk in the garden by himself. He wanted to walk with us. He wanted to take us by the hand. He says, come on, we can do this. We can do this. We can put Dunkin' Donuts out of business. Come on, Alan. God wants, He's waiting to walk with us to do it. It's because everything's not about now, it's about there. He's wanting us to learn to walk with Him here. It's Christ in you. He's wanting Jesus through. Listen, you just need to quit sitting there asking God to come do something if you're not willing to join Him. You ever been at work somewhere and a boss goes around, do this there, do this over there, do it. And I'm thinking, well, pick up a blame shovel yourself and do it. Anybody ever had that thought? Huh? We're sitting around telling God to do everything. God's just wanting us to join Him. He'll join us. But you got to move. It means you got to move. It means you got to think different. You got to change your mind. What if God didn't move till you moved? Now, I know God can move outside of our moving because He's done it before. But what if in our lives 95% of God moving is because I'm moving with God? I'm trying to get out of our system that we're waiting on God to do something. When God's asking to do it through us. Listen, when God's asking to do it through us, when we get done doing it, He wants us to feel like we did it ourselves. You ever took a kid riding a bicycle and you take a train and wheels off and you just kind of go behind it and they're riding, boy, you're doing a good job. But you're really holding the back of the bicycle. You're doing wonderful. A little bit you let it go and they take off. It's what God wants to do with us in life, with our problems, with everything. He's wanting us to participate with Him. Now, the reason I throw our body, soul, and spirit all together, it's because God wants us to walk into this place. It's called discipline. You have to discipline something. I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. If you're in a crisis in your life, you'll seek God. Wow. I am now going to seek God. We feel a little guilty, but we'll do it anyway. Feel a little guilty because we hadn't been seeking God, but now I got a crisis, so I'm going to seek God. Right? So a crisis forces us into seeking God. Then we get into this thing, I think I mentioned it also, that we can fast. What's a fast? It's a man-made crisis. Give up the donuts. Right? It's a man-made crisis. So if you give up food or if you give up something, you have just thrown your natural world into a little bit of a crisis, and you will seek God. It will throw you in the spirit more. It's just the truth. So God's taught us how we can throw ourselves into a man-made crisis and seek Him. Right? So we must understand that crisis is what pushes us towards God. But then there's a situation that we love God and enjoy Him so much, it doesn't take either one of them. It doesn't take either one of them. We just want Him to walk with us. Yes, God, I'll walk with you. Gubba duck and donuts. The Holy Ghost says, you don't need to get that dozen donuts. I'll say, okay, God, I won't. I won't get it. I'm going to walk with you. There's things in your life that you're wanting to accomplish that you're not accomplishing because you're waiting on God. What I'm suggesting to you, God will walk with you, but you've got to move with Him. That's right. Now, with that little introduction in mind, y'all remember that? That's my elephant. I've loved an elephant. Had a dream about two elephants. I'm not going to be a bit surprised if one doesn't show up at my farm. When I get it, y'all all can come see it. And I'm going to say, I told you so. In Zechariah, I use this verse. The Lord said, this seems unbelievable to you, a remnant, small, discouraged as you are, but it is no great thing for me. How many things are possible? All things are possible. We've got to get, we can't move beyond it being written. We've got to take our belief in non-belief. It's okay to be there. It's okay for it to feel like this is too big for me. It's unbelievable. If it's not unbelievable, it's probably not spirit. Probably not God. God's in the unbelievable business. So He's wanting to remind us, even though it's unbelievable. You see, we try to have belief in something that we can rationally figure out. If you can rationally figure it out, it's not unbelievable. So the unbelievable stuff is what we're wanting to capitalize on. We got to get it up here in our belief system that it's unbelievable to me, but it's no big deal for God. I want to submit this to you. What you believe in tends to give power to it. It tends to release the power that's in what you're believing in. I say it tends to develop. What happens is we tend to release things. We release, if I believe in God, I've released something. I'm not sure what it is. I just know something's been released. I know it's a belief, which is a faith, and I know that's a type of a power. There had a, I can't get into that right now. Belief, faith is a strong thing. It is strong. Because faith is produced out of your perception. Your perception tends to be produced out of your accumulated history or faith. So we're trying to move into this faith that it's no big deal for God. Now here's what's going on. How do you know that you made the transition from reading it to knowing it? It's because all of a sudden you'll feel love and peace. You know you made the transition. This is no big thing for God. You'll feel God's love and you'll be at peace. You know you made it. From reading it to doing it with Him. Everybody hear me there? Now, it's just not little sweet little poetry, okay? That's true words of power. You know you made the transition when you feel the love of God and the peace to God. My faith is now in God. My belief is now in God. What if we're asked? Now here's where I'm wanting to lead to. Can I ask God to do something, but do I really believe it unless I do it with Him? I submit to you this question. Do we really believe what we're asking unless we do it with Him? You can be across the Grand Canyon. There could be a tightrope. Somebody could be there with you. Say, why don't you? You can walk that tightrope. It'll hold you. Go ahead. Walk that tightrope. It'll hold you. Go right on out there. Put it this way. Say, there's a wheelbarrow there. You can push that wheelbarrow across that tightrope and it'll hold you. Then they turn around to you and say, okay, you get in the wheelbarrow and I'll do it. Right? Do I really believe it unless I do it? We're waiting on God to do things. What I'm submitting to you, prophetic people, is I'm not sure we really believe. I'm afraid we're fooling ourselves. I'm going to eat this dozen donuts and I'm not going to gain an ounce. I think we're fooling our brains. I think we're fooling ourselves. I think somebody in the house is lying and you know them. Will you tell God to go across this tightrope? The question is, if you ask Him to do that, will you get in the wheelbarrow? I'm not so sure God's going to walk it unless you get in the wheelbarrow. Now, there's some things in the world He can do just because He's God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our relationship with God in daily life. You got to move. We have to give something. We participate somewhere. I'm trying to stretch this a little bit, but I'm trying to put into a reality what it means to move in the Spirit. It means you participate with God. We are to participate with God. I read a story in the Bible where people walked around this town seven times and all fell down. That's the craziest thing I ever heard of. But I believe the walls came down. What if they had went six times? I don't believe it fell down. Why? Because they went around the walls and tooted horns. Crazy. But they participated with what God said, and guess what happened? Walls came down. Did they come down because they vibrated the ground or they tooted the horns? No, if you read previously, it said there was a host of angels back up in here in the heavens. You couldn't see them, but they were there. You couldn't see them when they tore the walls down, but you could see the walls coming down. As a prophetic people, do not require to see into the Spirit. Enjoy the results of your belief, seeing the walls come down. As a spiritual people, a lot of times we want to see in the Spirit, kind of like a hobby, instead of being after the results of the Spirit. The obedience of walking around those walls seven times and seeing them fall down is the issue. The issue is when we're praying for somebody and they get healed. Let me tell you something. If you're sick and need healing, you can help us prayer people a whole lot if you'll believe in it. That's all I'm saying. Come on, we need a little help. See what I'm saying? Now, usually, why do we have prayer pods? I'm going to tell you why. Because when you walk from there to there, you're expressing a belief. Now, we can pray for you back there. Why did Billy Graham have altar calls and people come out of the stand? It's an opportunity to join God in what's going on in here. And it's just an opportunity, an expression of belief. You just walk around the wall 7 times as you come down. Anybody see that? Can you see how important it is to have an expression that you believe? It's very, 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 very important to have this expression. We know it's no big thing for God. It's just totally impossible for us. But where we're wanting to move to this morning is to understand that God is asking us to participate with Him. If you're not participating, I'm wondering if you really believe it. I'm afraid you're in the internal line business. That's right. That's what I'm afraid of. And here's why. Every day you get up, you're either growing or dying. You're growing until you leave this planet, or you're dying. I believe we can leave this planet and just go on out. You're either growing or you're dying. You got these receptors I taught you about. It's important where you've placed yourself so that your receptors are picking up things that are health towards growing and not dying. Everybody with me? Now, there's one thing for me to be in an atmosphere in which I can have healing to my mind, body, soul, and spirit. There's one thing to be in that atmosphere. And there's another one to help create an atmosphere for others to be healed in. You should have jumped up right there and grabbed the highest light. See what I'm saying? You can't bring a healthy atmosphere to others until you are one. Say, well, I'm going to add to church today. I'm going to bring in a healthy atmosphere. Well, you ain't going to believe what they said to me in the parking lot. Boom, thunderstorm. Does that, right? You didn't contribute to the atmosphere of healing in this place. You say, well, I need to come to church and tell the truth. Well, you better be happy all of us don't. Somebody say amen. No, this isn't a place for you to come and tell the truth. This is a place for us to come to hear God's truth and to take on the mind of Christ. This is a place for us to come be somebody we're not. Not who we are. People say, well, I want to be set free. Yeah, you're set free to be like Him, not like you. Right? Somebody get you with me. If we're like Him, you're going to be growing, healing. This church was said to be, how was it, Pastor? An oasis of healing, I think. We're to be an oasis of healing. And I've come under the revelation of, I think, by the Spirit of God, that we ain't got our first palm tree growed up real good yet. We got a little palm tree growing to do. And to do that, we're going to have some honest conversations if y'all hang with me. And these honest conversations, you can test what I say, but I'm going to be very honest in the next 60, 90 days. And the honesty is going to produce the truth, which I'm going to say to you. We've got to let go and walk with God. We've got to understand we're either healing and growing or we're dying. As a people, as a church, as a physical body, as a anything, we're either growing. I'm a farmer, but it's this reality. You're either growing or you're dying. So everything that comes out of your mouth, goes in your mouth, physically, mentally, spiritually, needs to be conducive to healthy growth. And as far as I'm concerned, if it doesn't contribute to that, we don't need it. And I'm not saying there's not a bunch of bad out there. Of course there is. But the bad needs something healthy to see. It needs an example. It needs hope. It needs hope. Now my question and what I'm asking us to do today is to move into more faith, more reality of faith. Consider what we're really believing in. There's one thing to believe in God, and there's another one to believe about that God's in me. And that means God says, okay, Alan, I'm in you. If you don't move, we can't move because I'm in you. You got to move so we can move.